You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo.
Today is September 1st, 2023.
I am MP Holmes, and this show looks at the recent declaration by the City of Kitchener that gender-based violence and intimate partner violence has reached epidemic proportions.
Councillor Michaud, your motion on gender-based violence.
Thank you. Yes, I'd like to bring the following motion forward. Whereas in 2022, it was estimated that one woman or girl is killed every 48 hours in Canada, primarily by men. And whereas the Renfrew County issued 86 recommendations to the province of Ontario aimed at combating increasing levels of intimate partner violence, in light of an inquest into the deaths of three local women at the hands of a man with a long history of stalking and domestic violence convictions. And whereas the number one recommendation of the inquest was for the province of Ontario to declare intimate partner violence an epidemic. And whereas 30 municipalities across Ontario have declared intimate partner violence an epidemic. And whereas in March 2019, Ontario's tri-cities of Kitchener, Waterloo, and Cambridge ranked as the least safe and least healthy place for women among the 26 largest metropolitan areas in Canada. And whereas one quarter of all criminal charges laid in Waterloo Region in 2022 were related to intimate partner violence. And whereas frontline service organizations in Waterloo Region have raised concerns about increased demand for sexual assault support services while operational funding remains stagnant. Therefore, be it resolved that the City of Kitchener declared gender-based violence and intimate partner violence an epidemic.
That was City of Kitchener Councillor Christine Mashaw introducing the motion at the council meeting on August 29th. Once again, some of those shocking and serious statistics include that in March 2019, Waterloo Region was ranked as the least safe and least healthy place for women among the 26 largest metropolitan areas in Canada. And in 2022, one quarter of all criminal charges laid in Waterloo Region were related to intimate partner violence. This is not something that started in COVID, but COVID certainly made it worse. Jenna Main, the Communications and Fund Development Manager of the Women's Crisis Center in Waterloo Region, talked to CKMS News about the declaration of an intimate partner violence epidemic, types and impacts of intimate partner violence, and what support resources do we need to curb this disturbing trend. But first, Jenna described why the declaration of the epidemic is a positive development.
We're really excited and glad to see that Kitchener declares intimate partner violence and gender-based violence an epidemic. I think it's really encouraging that they're recognizing this. And I think by doing so, they're really showing their understanding that it's really an urgent public issue that needs a public response. Intimate partner violence has been really increasing and escalating. So it's a really big problem, not just in our city, but Ontario-wide and Canada-wide, really. In the first 34 weeks of the year, there's already been 38 femicides. So we really need to bring attention to what intimate partner violence and domestic violence is and work towards preventing this. We are also hoping that this recognition comes from the region as well. I think as a region, we really need to work together to focus on how we can prevent, reduce, and ultimately eliminate intimate partner violence. Something we'd like to see is for intimate partner violence to be added into the community's community safety and well-being plan. I think that would really help highlight the importance of it and help the residents of the community be safer.
The 38 femicides Jenna was referring to was reported by the Ontario Association for Interval and Transition Houses, and which stated that in Ontario, since November 26, 2022, 38 women have been murdered by their partners. Waterloo Region currently has two emergency shelters and one transitional house. The shelters are full and length of stays are long, up to a year in some cases, because there is nowhere to go. The affordable housing crisis has reverberations across the social landscape, but nearly none so devastating as for women seeking to leave abusive relationships.
A few years ago, women and children stayed for an average of 8 weeks, but now they're staying for a few months, which is not ideal. Some women and children are actually staying for up to a year in our emergency shelters. Yeah, there's really been a backlog due to the affordable housing crisis. So the good thing was last year we were able to open Aspen Place, which is our first transitional house. So through Aspen Place, we're able to move some of the women and kids out into Aspen Place who aren't needing emergency shelter at that time. And then it frees up a little bit of the backlog for others who need support.
In August of this year, the Waterloo Record reported that in the past 10 years, local police have responded to 66,000 calls related to intimate partner violence. That's 6,600 a year, 550 per month, or 18 calls related to intimate partner violence per day. In addition, in the last 10 years, the police laid more than 35,000 charges, which relates to 3,500 per year, 292 per month, or 10 charges a day related to intimate partner violence. As with anything in life that is cloaked in fear and with the threat of violence, the cases that are reported are a small proportion of the actual number that occur.
Yeah, we know that about 75 to 80% of people don't actually report when they're experiencing domestic violence. Yeah, it's horrible. But we know that most people do tell a family member or friend. So that's something we like to educate about. We actually have a program called Neighbors and Loved Ones, where we educate family members and community members on what domestic violence is and how they can help someone who's in need if they're experiencing this, to kind of give them the tools to be able to offer support and guidance to them and really offer to help them and lead them to our services if they need it.
Jenna talked about what intimate partner violence is and how it impacts a person and their wider life.
Yeah, so domestic violence and intimate partner violence, it comes in many forms. I think a lot of people think of physical violence, but we know that's not the only form. There's also emotional, psychological, financial abuse. There's lots of different types. And I think because of the different types and they're not always spoken about, women who are experiencing this don't often even recognize what they're experiencing as abuse or as intimate partner violence. So that's something we try and do, is provide a lot of education about what these types of abuse are. And they can impact women in lots of different aspects of their life. You know, since it's not just physical violence, it could impact women emotionally. It can impact their finances. Women may not be able to get a job because they might have a controlling partner, or even if they do have a job, they might not be able to have access to their finances. And this is why it can make it so difficult to leave too, especially if women have children involved. There's a big impact on children. We have a child and youth program in our emergency shelters. So that's something we do, is work directly with the children. And we also have a child and family therapist now too. So that's been really helpful to kind of help kids process their feelings and what they've been through. And we know that if we can get in there and support them, we can definitely make a difference. But it definitely has a big impact on children. Almost half of our shelter residents are actually children. So that's why it's important that we do have a big focus on child and youth programming and supporting kids in shelters, since that is a large portion of our clients.
That last statistic again. Of the 383 people living in shelters last year in our region, almost half of them were children.
These numbers are overwhelming, especially those released by the police. But how many women are able to secure safe housing away from their abuser?
That's our role too, is to help women staying in our emergency shelters move into safe housing. So women are able to stay with us for as long as they need to until they're able to secure housing, as long as they're actively seeking housing and working with their support worker to find this, then they're able to stay. The vast majority of people staying in our emergency shelters do find safe housing, because that's really something we support them with. We wouldn't discharge somebody unless they had safe housing to move into. And that's why it's creating this backlog, and we're having people stay for so long, because we can't let them leave if they don't have anywhere safe to go to. So we're definitely going to let them stay as long as they need to. But then the lack of affordable housing makes it challenging for women to be able to move out and have somewhere safe to go.
The Women's Crisis Services of Waterloo Region offers 990 shelter beds for women, trans individuals, and gender diverse people. 45 beds are in Kitchener and another 45 are in Cambridge. The transitional home, Aspen Place, offers at least 10 beds. While 383 people use the shelters, more than 2,400 calls came into the agency's support line and online chat last year, and over 1,100 people were supported through outreach services. Jenna was asked, in a perfect world with unlimited resources, what would be done to reduce or even end intimate partner violence?
We really could use more support in our outreach program. Our outreach workers are the ones who facilitate our youth education program and our public education initiatives. We know that as much as we need emergency shelter beds, we also need to help prevent women from needing those as well. So not everyone who comes to us needs emergency shelter. Some people have a place to stay. They're able to stay with friends or family. So what they really need is outreach support. So we can provide all the same services. You know, we can provide emotional support. We can help them find other safe, affordable housing, help them review options for financial support. We can do that all through outreach without them coming into shelter. We could also use more transitional housing to free up our emergency shelter beds. We are usually close to capacity in emergency shelter, but if we had more transitional housing, then we would be able to move people out of the shelters and into safe, independent living and keep those emergency shelters for people who are really in emergency situations where it's high risk. So I think in a perfect world, we'd have more transitional housing and definitely more outreach and prevention services.
Jenna gave advice and suggestions on what to do if people are experiencing intimate partner violence.
I would encourage anyone experiencing domestic violence or intimate partner violence to call our support lines. We have two support lines and we also have an online chat. They're anonymous, completely safe to call. So the numbers are 519-653-2422 or 519-742-5894. Or they can visit our website, just Google Women's Crisis Services, and go to our website, and there's an online chat there, which is also anonymous, and we can provide immediate crisis support through there and help anyone who reaches out. We can help them safety plan and decide what's the best next step for them, whether it's coming into emergency shelter or using outreach services, or if there's another option that's a better fit for them.
Regional Council is expected to declare intimate partner violence an epidemic at Council meeting on September 12th, where Women's Crisis Services will be presenting alongside their partners in the Family Violence Project. They will be asking Council to declare the epidemic and to integrate intimate partner violence in the region's community safety and well-being plan.
You have been listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. This is MP Holmes, and thank you for tuning in. The music on today's show is called Maple Music by God Mode, courtesy of Expectantly Maple Music on YouTube. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, Heritage Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this show on radiowaterloo.ca/news and listen to all the LJI content at canada-info.ca. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca.